the Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN. We haven't talked movies in quite a while because, quite honestly, it's been a little bit dead this summer. At least I thought so. Eric Davis from Movies.com jumps on the phone with us. Hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. What's up?
Is that an accurate assessment that maybe it's been a little bit slow this summer and now things are starting to heat up again?
You know, it has been a bit of a slow summer. I think the first quarter of this year was probably the biggest box office kind of draws of the year between Deadpool and Zootopia and then Captain America Civil War in early May. And then we hit a bit of a stretch in June and July. Some things did well, some things did not. I think the animated films are really saving this summer's box office a bit, Finding Dory, The Secret Life of Pets. But yeah, now we're hitting a stretch where Star Trek Beyond, Jason Bourne, Suicide Squad, three very highly anticipated movies are all on their way or out now.
Yeah, let's jump back for a second and talk Finding Dory, because that was kind of the big Pixar. Pixar has been in a bit of a lull lately. Finding Dory, here's one of their all-time favorite movies, Finding Nemo. They finally, so many years later, come out with the sequel. It's got Ellen DeGeneres. It's got the whole Pixar treatment. It's done very well, but has it done as well as we would expect a Pixar legend film to do?
I think it did better than they anticipated it would do, to be honest with you, especially coming off other sequels, prequels from Pixar, like Monsters University or Cars 2. Finding Dory did just as well, better than them. Maybe not as well as Toy Story 3, but I would say it's their strongest sequel since Toy Story 3. Mm-hmm. Not as good as the original, but still really well done, really great story. You know, Pixar, they have been a little hit and miss lately, although even their misses are still entertaining. Like, even The Good Dinosaur is a good watch.
Mm-hmm.
And last year's Inside Out, I loved. But yeah, you know, I think people would like to see more original content from them versus the sequels,
yeah.
Which they said they're going to get back to after the next couple of years of sequels, Toy Story 4, The Incredibles 2, another Cars movie. And then they're going to make some more original movies.
Well, I mean, we have to expect somewhat. They sold to Disney, and that's going to happen. You know, when you get a corporate owner, they're going to say, well, we want you to keep making those good films, but we also want to make some cash. So let's bring out the sequel. So, okay. So let's jump into this week, Jason Bourne. So Matt Damon was Jason Bourne for a few movies, and then he wasn't for another Bourne movie, and now he's back, right?
Yeah, this is Matt Damon's first time in the role since 2007, if you can believe it. It's been 9 years. Since we've seen Matt Damon play Jason Bourne, he reunites with Paul Greengrass, who did a couple of the other Bourne movies with him. And yeah, you know, he's back at it. He's ripped. Jason Bourne is ripped back into this whole mystery revolving around who he is and the program that he came to and what his true identity is. And it's all that same kind of stuff where you have government agents whispering around corners and saying stuff like, "Find the asset. Where's Bourne?" You know, but if you like, it's got a lot more action than I think other Bourne movies have. A lot of action, a really crazy sequence that takes place on the Las Vegas Strip. So I think if you're looking for a good action movie, see Jason Bourne. Is it as strong as the first three? I don't think so.
Mm.
I think they could have reinvented this franchise in a way that kind of moves away from the central premise of just who is Jason Bourne. But I like Matt Damon. I like him in this role. So it's a cool watch.
I always think of the Bourne movies, for people that don't know them, as like a really, really, really amped up James Bond type thing. Is that fair?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. And so the action is pretty intense. I mean, you said more than the other movies. The others had a lot of action in them, didn't they?
Yeah, I feel like the other movies were a bit smarter, a bit more kind of espionage thrillers than this one, which is sort of more of a straight-up action movie. Jason Bourne doesn't even have a lot of lines in the movie. And critics aren't crazy about it either. So, you know, I think that in order to really make an impact with critics and audiences these days, especially if you're going to keep giving us sequels, you have to reinvent them in some way. You have to give us something we haven't seen yet from this property in order to elevate it. And I think Hollywood is learning that lesson this summer.
Yeah, interesting. So that's the big sequel-ish movie that's out. Now, the original comedy, the one that I think that kind of falls into maybe a mom's version of, I guess, The Hangover, is called Bad Moms.
Yes, Bad Moms. Bad Moms is like, that's the excuse for a ladies' night out this summer. Super funny movie, really raunchy, but it's heartfelt. It's got a great ensemble. Think like Mean Girls, Bridesmaids, along those lines. Mm-hmm. Catherine Hahn is very, very funny in this movie. She's a character actress, sort of breaks out of this film the way Melissa McCarthy did in Bridesmaids. A lot of relatable humor, especially for suburban moms and dads who are, you know, at war with the PTA and stuff like that. I think it's just a super relatable film for a lot of people, and I think it's going to do well.
Is it going to be too raunchy for the suburban crowd?
You know, I don't think so, because I don't think, you know, I think that's a stigma that we put on the suburban crowd, but, like, my wife is going to see this Monday night with, like, 15 other women who are all suburban moms who all cannot wait for it. So, I mean, if you're the kind of person where you're coming home, you're putting the kids to bed, you're having a couple of glasses of wine and complaining about how insane your life is, I think you will find a lot to appreciate in Bad Moms. And like I said, it is a little bit foul-mouthed and raunchy, yeah, but there's a sweetness there and there's a heart there that I think helps elevate the film.
Excellent, excellent. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're speaking with Eric Davis from Movies.com. When we come back, there's movies that are already out, like we mentioned Finding Dory, but Star Trek, the latest Star Trek movie's out, and some pretty cool upcoming movies for the next few weeks. Stick with us. Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN. Bubala with you here on 720 WGN, talking movies with Eric Davis from Movies.com. He's the managing editor there. He's also a contributing editor at Fandango. All right, so Eric, the latest Star Trek movie is out now. Now, this isn't, I got to reset because I'm not a Star Trek guy, I'm a Star Wars guy. But this isn't Shatner and those guys. This is the new guys. This is their second film as the Star Trek crew.
This is their third film as the new Star Trek crew. This is probably going to be one of the best reviewed summer blockbusters of the summer. It's really good. They get back to the roots of Star Trek, sort of where they pick up the Enterprise crew when they're in the middle of a multi-year mission, and then the ship gets destroyed. They get stranded on a planet. Everybody goes in different directions, and it's sort of about how do you survive. Mm. What I like about this film versus the other two is it's not just Kirk and Spock centric. This way, they build out build out subplots for all the characters where you're invested in the entire crew, and it feels a lot more like Star Trek that people grew up with. I think Simon Pegg took over the writing duties on this film, and he did a really good job with it. He really knows the brand, he knows the franchise. I am also a Star Wars fan like you. I'm not the biggest Trekkie, but it's a really exciting film with a lot of great action, especially an ending. That's really cool.
Now, I know that J.J. Abrams is the one that originally revived the Star Trek franchise, and he moved over to Star Wars. Is he involved in these movies at all anymore?
Yeah, J.J. Abrams produces them. I think he helps with the story and stuff like that, but he's not directing them. He went and directed Star Wars The Force Awakens. So this one, he kind of leaves it to Justin Lin, who comes from the Fast and the Furious movies. This is a guy that was very successful with some of those Fast and Furious movies. And what he brings to Star Trek is, yes, a great sensibility when it comes to action sequences. But if you look at those Fast and Furious movies, they're all about family. And I think he carries that family theme over to this Star Trek movie, and that's why you're so much more invested in these characters as a family and less so as, like, you know, a crew.
Mm. Interesting. All right, so coming up next week, the big one we're looking forward to, and we've heard so much about over the last, I feel like, couple of years now, Jared Leto is the Joker, and mm-hmm. I'm seeing all this stuff on social media. The movie's called Suicide Squad. I'm not a big comic book guy, so explain to me what exactly this setup is.
All right, Suicide Squad is a movie all about the supervillains. So it's not about heroes, it's about bad guys. And basically, you know, this is now takes place in the world of Batman v Superman. So if you saw that movie, this one kind of picks up where it's like, well, what if Superman comes down or someone like Superman comes and wants to take the president hostage? How are we going to stop them? So they decide to devise a plan to take some of the worst criminals that they have in their prisons, and they figure out a way to put these things in their necks so this way they can kind of control them. And they say, look, we're going to send you out on a suicide mission, basically, to work for us. And if you survive, you get 10 years off of your sentence. And it's a fun concept because we don't see movies about villains.
Yeah.
And I especially like it because, you know, if people go on to really, you know, invest in these villains from this movie sort of as the heroes of the film, and then you take those and you put them, say, in a Batman movie where Batman's the hero, I like that dynamic. I like having really fallen in love, so to speak, with Will Smith's Deadshot, for example, but then seeing Deadshot as a villain in a Batman movie. That creates a dynamic for the audience that we're not used to seeing, because we're now mutually invested in the hero.
Yeah, mutually invested in the hero and the villain. That is an interesting concept. Tell me, Jared Leto is the Joker. Will Smith is, did you say Deadshot?
Yeah, he's Deadshot, historically a Batman villain. All of them are sort of in the rogues gallery of Batman villains. Harley Quinn, which a lot of people are looking forward to, played by Margot Robbie. She's like Joker's girlfriend. You also have villains like Boomerang, played by Jai Courtney. You have the Enchantress, which is, it plays a really big role in the film. So you have, if you're a comic reader, there's a lot of villains that you're used to seeing in the comics that you haven't seen on screen yet. And it makes for a fun ensemble, a different ensemble. Like I said, if you're going to surprise people with superhero movies these days, like Deadpool, you have to do something different. You have to give us something we haven't seen yet. Suicide Squad on paper is giving us something we haven't seen yet. Can execute? That's the question.
Is it rated R or PG-13?
It is PG-13. We'll see if they do what Batman did and come out with like an R-rated extended cut, although I don't think so. I've spoken to the director of Suicide Squad, and he's not a big fan of extended cuts or anything like that. So I think they shot the PG-13, and it's PG-13. But it's violent, though. It's still violent.
Yeah.
No blood or guts or anything like that.
And there were rumors about reshoots and things like that with this, right? Are we concerned? Is there concern as this movie comes out that it's not going to perform well, or are they thinking it's tight?
I think it's going to perform really well. The trailers are phenomenal. And, you know, I mean, every blockbuster goes through reshoots. I think some of them are more publicized than others, but that's something that's already built into the schedule of any big budget movie. So when you hear reshoots, don't think that, oh, this movie's the only movie that's ever had that. Every movie has reshoots. It's just which movies do people pay a little bit more attention to. Some of these new Suicide Squad, some of these new superhero movies, they pay a little bit more attention to, especially after Batman v Superman. Wasn't very liked much by critics.
Yeah. Well, and
so,
I think
a lot of eyeballs on
we've here. Heard a lot about reshoots with Rogue One, right? The next Star Wars movie that's coming out. That's been in the news quite a bit if you pay attention at all to the Star Wars stuff, that people are all concerned about reshoots. From what you've heard, were those planned reshoots or were there issues with Rogue One?
Those were planned reshoots. From what I've heard, they had 3 weeks of reshoot built into their schedule. And, you know, that's we're waiting. You know, I was just in London, actually, at Star Wars Celebration, which is their annual convention, and I saw some footage for Rogue One that they have not released yet that sees Darth Vader and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm very excited about that movie. This is the first one that they're sort of taking a bit of a risk on. They got this direct, this is, you know, a standalone movie. It's not part of that Skywalker story. So it's going to be a cool Star Wars movie, and it's just a matter of, can they execute it in a way that feels very Star Wars, but is also different, that it invites us into this other parallel Star Wars world where we can kind of have fun with characters who aren't related to Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. All right, so we're running out of time, and you're running out of cell life, it sounds like. So real quick, in 2 weeks, there's an animated movie coming out called Sausage Party. My kids were telling me just last night, they're like, it was supposed to be a kid's movie, and now they made it R, and they're all upset about it. What's the story behind Sausage Party?
Yes, well, first, don't ever show your kids this movie. That's the first thing. I'm warning all parents. This is the filthiest animated movie you've probably ever seen in your life. Do not show your kids. But this is like picture an R-rated Pixar movie that takes place in a supermarket. All the food and the products of the supermarket are the characters, and their world gets tossed, turned upside down when they start to realize that people actually buy the food to eat and kill them all. and then they have to go on an adventure and kind of figure that all out. So this is from Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, very funny guys, funny voice cast, a lot of familiar names in there, Kristen Wiig, Danny McBride, Nick Kroll. But like I said, I mean, you watch this thing and you're like, how did this movie even get made? It is so crazy, but it's funny. It's inventive. I've seen it twice now, and both audiences that I've seen it with have laughed louder than I've seen any audience laugh at a comedy this year. So it's definitely one to see with an audience and definitely one to give a shot, take a risk on it, because it is funny, funny, funny.
But it's rated R, and it is not for your children.
It is not for your children, please. If I can warn parents, I can't warn parents enough. because they just see animated commercials on news on their television, and they're like, let's go see that this weekend. It stars a hot dog. You'll be sorry.
Eric Davis is the managing editor at Movies.com, a contributing editor at Fandango. Thanks so much for jumping on the phone, Eric.
Thanks a lot, man.
Matt Bubala with your Radio 720 WGN.